Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. We are here live right here on the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on full today. I'm on full today. I'm filled up today. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you, and this is just a little nugget before we begin, if you are a person that is going through anything right now and you are lack of strength right now physically or whatever, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus and let him fill you up to the brim. Because he will fill your cup to the brim and it will overflow. Amen. Because that's how I am feeling today in Jesus' name. Amen. I praise God. I first want to give honor to God who is the head of my life in Jesus' name. I want to give honor to the watchman on the wall of this network in Jesus' name, Apostle Charlene Cook. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. To all of the Spirit Alive Network family, God bless you all in Jesus' name. Even giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Tuggle. God bless you all. And everybody that's listening around the world, God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And the reason why I'm on full, y'all, I'm going to let you in on why I'm on full. Last night, well, it went from last night to early this morning. last night, I went to a Apostolic Heritage Conference, and we had church, y'all. The word was good. The spirit was good. Everything was great. And I did not get home till almost 1 o'clock in the morning. You might say, well, why did you stay at church that long? Because I wanted to be in the presence of God. Didn't nobody want to leave. The spirit was so high and the fellowship was so good that didn't nobody want to leave. Amen. And we finally left, but we left in, I slept like a baby, y'all, when I got home. And all of the tiredness that was in me throughout that day, yesterday, because I went to work and got up at 7-something in the morning and went to work and did my job and everything and came home, got ready for church and went to church, and you would think I'd be tired. I'm not tired at all. Been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Amen. But I praise God for the topic today because the Lord has compelled me, commissioned me to teach a series. Now, I don't know how long this series is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be short or long. But the title of this series is Taking Your Place in the Kingdom of God. And today we're going to lay the foundation for this series. It might be a two-part series. It might be a three-part series. I don't know how long, whatever, how long the Lord says. we move on the unction of the Holy Ghost. But I want to start this thing off by saying there is a kingdom. Now, I know that we have kingdoms of the world. We have kingdoms of the devil has his kingdom, and there are kings and queens in the earth. But there is no greater kingdom than the kingdom of God. And we, as people of God, must take our place in the kingdom. The old mothers and fathers of the gospel, from our generation and until the biblical day, knew their place in the kingdom. And somewhere we have fallen off. We have traded entertainment for anointing. This is what the Lord, he wants us to go back to the place of our kingdomship, where we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Where we go to a church service and people get delivered. They're not coming in the same way, or they're not leaving the same way they came in. Amen. And the devil is so shrewd, because the devil has tried to put a chokehold on our authority in God. He has. But today I decree and declare today that you shall take your place in the kingdom. I shall take my place in the kingdom. And I'm not just talking about eternal life. I'm talking about living royalty. Not just royalty when we get to heaven, but royalty while we're on the earth. And then when we go to heaven, we'll receive an eternal reward. We'll be in royalty forever. But there is a kingdomship in God. There is a kingdom authority that we must take, that we must grab a part of. Some of us have lost that authority, but we need to get it back. Amen. I'm going to start with a scripture in the book of Psalms, Psalms 145. And I'm going to say this is what God is showing us about his kingdom. Amen. Psalms 145, starting at verse number 8. And it reads, "The Lord is glorious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majestic of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion," amen, "thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." Amen. This is the kingdom of God. And you might say, and like I said, we're going to lay the foundation for this series. You might ask, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? Some of us that are in the body of Christ, some of us know, and some of us don't know. Some of us that do know, do we really know the depth of the kingdom of God? We are royalty. His kingdom is holy. His kingdom is righteous. It is holiness and righteousness. In 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And I love this because it talks about what the kingdom is. Amen. And what he has established for his kingdom. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is God's kingdom, and this is what he has established in his kingdom. There is no greater. There is none greater than the kingdom of God. Amen. This is the reason why we are saved today. Because of the kingdom of God. We are saved because of him. And this is why he went to the cross, so that we might have right to the kingdomship, to the kingdom authority that God has for us. But some have not received that full authority because they have not come up under subjection to the Holy Ghost. So let me show you what you're missing out on for those that have not accepted the kingdomship. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, it reads, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This is what we are, a royal priesthood. We're royalty. We have been called out of darkness. We have been called out of sin. We have been called out of our shame. We have been called, but the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Some of us have not answered the call. But it is up to us as the people of God. Some have not answered the call, but it is up to us as the people of God to preach and to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people might see the kingdom that awaits them, the royal priesthood that waits for them. Amen. For that backslider. They turned away from God, but we have to preach and we have to teach this thing. We have to live this thing. Well, you might say, well, because it's not supposed to be, well, I got mine and you get yours. It's not supposed to be that way. We, as people of God, are supposed to lead people to Christ. And some have lost their kingdomship because they are not leading souls to Christ. They're not living it. And so after a while, and these people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They've been in it. They've grown up in it. But somewhere along the line, they lost their kingship, or they put their kingdomship up on the shelf because they doubt. They have put their authority on the shelf. They have put their kingdom authority on the shelf because they doubt, because they don't see the blessings of God. See, this is working for both. This is for both, saved and unsaved. Amen? This is for saved and unsaved. We must be, to get to be in the kingdom of God, we have to first receive the salvation that God has for us. Amen. And Acts 1 and 8 says, and matter of fact, let's go there, the Acts 1 and 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to show you. Instead of me quoting, I'm going to show you. You got your Bibles? If you got your Bibles, please, please, please turn to it. Please. Go with us on today. Because I'm going to show you. This is the standard. And this is the standard of the kingdom that God has set up. I'm going to show you this, why we should not have the mentality. Because some saints have the mentality, I got mine, so you need to get yours. And it don't work that way. It don't work that way. There's always something that we can do in the kingdom. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Amen. And I'm flipping through my Bible, so I got to flip through. Amen. I like filling the pages, y'all. Amen. Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse number 4. I know I said Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but I'm going to start at verse number 4. And it reads, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Amen. And then verse number 6 says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, whence thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Now this verse right here, they were actually talking about Israel itself, restoring Israel. But God was talking in a spiritual sense. Amen. He was talking about it in a spiritual sense. Amen. And verse number 7 says, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put on his has put in his own power." And verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." Verse number 8 shows us that after we receive the Holy Ghost, which is recorded in Acts 2 and 38 and 39, then we come into the kingdom, and we are given power. That's where we read in Psalms 145, verses 9 through 13, where it was talking about the kingdom, that they shall talk about his power. That's what this is what we're talking about, that we shall be witnesses. We have to be a witness, and witnessing is not just talking to people. Witnessing is talking to people out there on the street, giving to people, living the life that God has ordained. God has ordained. Now, what has God ordained in the kingdom? What is the place in the kingdom we must be in? What is it? We got to be holy. The place in God is holiness. The place in God is holiness. Now, I don't care if you, I don't care what title you have. I don't care what you call yourself. You must be holy. We must be holy because the Bible lets us know to be holy. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about us being holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about us being holy. Matter of fact, let's go there to 1 Peter. Because they talked about it in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 21 and 8. But watch this. In the New Testament, God talked about it again. He didn't change. He did not change. And you can go back in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 8 and read that, where it talks about the holy, to be holy. Amen. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, the Lord, in his word, he refers to holy, being holy again. He talks about being holy. And so let's read that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And it reads, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's all it does. That's all we need is holiness. Holiness. We need holiness. And holiness, see, you know what holiness gets us? Holiness leads unto righteousness. You don't believe me? Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I'm going to read it to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Holiness leads unto righteousness. Amen. We can't come, look, you can't come, and the reason why I say holiness leads unto righteousness. In this verse, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom. See that? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, a lot of people use that scripture and for materialistic stuff. If I seek God, I'll get that new car. I'll get that new house. No. It ain't just talking about that. Everything that you need lies in the kingdom, but you have to come before God holy because he is holy. Holiness gets you access to the kingdom. Holiness gets you access to the righteousness of God. How do we receive the holiness? Holiness lies in receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is in Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Once you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you are righteous. You are in holiness, which leads to righteousness. Why do I need righteousness? So I need holiness and righteousness to go into the place, to take my place in the kingdom. Yes, you do. You need holiness and you need righteousness. Why do I need holiness and righteousness? Because the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You got to be holy. You can't come before the presence of God without holiness. You can't come before the presence of God. That's what it says. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, you might say, well, Brother Adam, it's talking about not seeing him in eternity. Yes, it is. But it's also, you can't, back in the Bible days, the high priest couldn't go into the holies of holies without him being holy. He had to have himself together.
He had to have himself right to even enter into the holies of holies, to make the sacrifice for the people. So you cannot come before God just any kind of way. God does not accept. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. In every area of our life, why do we have to be holy in every area of our life? Because our life needs to reflect the Godship of our life. It needs to reflect God. We can't talk about the power of God until we live out the power of God. You can. The Holy Ghost is the power of God manifested in our life. If we live holy, the Holy Ghost helps us live holy. We must live holy so we can talk about the power. We can talk about the kingdom of God. I'm laying the foundation. See, Jesus, taking your place in the kingdom of God. There is kingdom authority that we have. We should not go to church. We should not, well, I'll say it like this. We should not leave church the same way we came in. We should see more people being baptized in Jesus' name and not them leaving the same way they came. We have so many people that have come into the church looking for relief, and they leave out the same way they came in. It's because we are not taking our place in the kingdom. We have not taken our place in the kingdom of God. We haven't taken our full authority in the kingdom of God. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brother Adam? By telling, crucifying our flesh is taking your rightful place in the kingdom. Witnessing every day, every time you get a chance, you witnessing to somebody. That's taking your place in the kingdom. Staying in the Word of God every day. You eat every day, right? Well, we need to learn how to eat the whole roll of God every day. Well, I got to go to work and I got to do this. No. If you can get up and go to work, you can read your Bible every day. At least a verse. If you can get up and go to work, if you can watch TV, and if you can do this and do that. My great-grandmother, we called her Gigi. All the young kids used to call her Gigi. But my mom and her sister, they called her Bubby. And what she used to tell me was, because she knew I loved as a child, I loved wrestling. And she used to tell me all the time, Adam, if you can learn all those wrestlers' names, you can learn your schoolwork. Now, she was talking in a physical sense about school. But every time she would tell me that as a child, I understood it, but I didn't understand it until I got older. And I used that same thing that she told me, and I used it in the spiritual sense. And I'm like, if I can sit here and watch TV, if I can sit here and if I can get up and go to work, if I can sit here and play my video game sometime, and I can sit here and read the Word of God. I can pray more. I can fast. I can seek the Lord. If I can learn how to do it, I can learn the Word of God. Do you not? This is taking your place in God. Now watch this. In Isaiah, let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 64, verse number 6. And let's see what that says, because the Lord the Lord has a place for us. He said that he goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. And that's talking about heaven. But we must live. We're pilgrims passing through this present world. We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. But while we wait, we got to occupy. The Bible says occupy until he comes. So what are we occupying for? We're living out our place in the kingdom. We're living out what God told us to do. We're doing the work. Because why? He created us to be a help to the kingdom. He didn't just create you just to live. He created you so you can, because the Bible says we are his workmanship. Why do you think he said that his saints shall praise thee? The Bible says in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. What does that mean? That means all day long, every minute that I get, I'm gonna spend it with Jesus. Every second I get, I'm going to spend it with Jesus. In everything that I do, I'm going to spend my time with Jesus. When I go to work, yeah, I got to, well, what about me working? I got to work, Brother Adam. What do you mean? Yeah, but you can be on your job and still be with Jesus. You can be on your job and still be in Jesus. The songwriter said, there's an old song that says, all day long, I've been with Jesus. All day long, I've been with him. How do I know that? Because when you own your job, are you driving down the street, you can pray in your mind. That's still being with Jesus. That's still working for the Lord. That's still taking your authority. That's still taking your kingdom authority. You can quote a verse. There's Bible apps on your phone. While you on your, well, I got to take care of my kids. Well, you know what? While you taking care of the kids, you can anoint your children. Mm-hmm. Pray over them while you taking care of them. Mm-hmm. You can quote Bible verses. If you know a verse, you quote that verse. Because taking care of children sometimes, taking care of your household sometimes, it gets tedious. It gets tedious. It gets worrisome sometimes. But I got to learn how to take my place in the kingdom. How do I take my place when life gets stressful? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Start quoting that. Start quoting those verses unto yourself. Encourage yourself sometimes. And that's taking your place in the kingdom. I will not be moved. My faith will not be shaken because I'm going through this and I'm going through that. My faith ain't, you got to make up in your mind. My faith will not be shaken. I don't care what comes near me. I don't care. The devil can do whatever he wants. It does not matter. I'm still going to stand on the promises of God. I'm still going to stand. I've had times in my life where personal times in my life where my faith was shaking, where the devil is trying to come in and tell me, where's God at now? You in the hospital bed and you trying to serve God, but yet you laid up here in a hospital bed with a heart condition. What is wrong with you? Why are you serving? Yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I. That's taking your place in the kingdom. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. The reason why we need holiness, let me show y'all something. The reason why we need holiness is because we came into this world unrighteous. We need righteousness to be able to live life. We need righteousness to be able to live life. We need holiness to be able to live, but we need holiness to guide us to righteousness, because we need righteousness to be upright. The Bible says in the book of Job, Satan tried to, he wanted to consume Job, but the Lord asked the devil, the Lord asked Satan, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job, a perfect and upright man? Righteousness will keep you upright." Now watch this. This is why we need holiness to lead us to righteousness. This is why we need righteousness right here. In Isaiah 64, verse number 6, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. Mm-hmm. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We came into this world with iniquity. We came into this world with sin. And we came into this world with unrighteous garments. Our righteousness, that's why the Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's why we need holiness and righteousness to be able to get to the place. Getting to the place, what is the place in the kingdom? It's holiness and it's righteousness. To be able to get to where you want to be in God, you have to get into holiness and righteousness. That is the place that you have to be at in the kingdom. The holiness and righteousness of God. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you something. Let's go to the book of Psalms, because some people might say, well, I'm a morally good individual. And look, morally good ain't good enough. You got to be holy. You got to be holy. You got to receive the Holy Ghost for you to be holy and for you to live righteously. But ain't that good enough? No, because you came into this world a sinner. I came into this world a sinner, and I needed my sins washed away. Watch this. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 51, verse number 5. Psalms 51, verse number 5. Let's look what David said. Let's look and see what David said in Psalms 51. Verse 5. In Psalms 51, verse 5, it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In sin did my mother conceive me. So if David was conceived in sin, and he wasn't, David was not before Adam. Adam was before David. And Adam was the one that brought sin into the world because of his disobedience. So sin was on the bloodline of mankind. So that means if David was conceived in sin, I was conceived in sin. You were conceived in sin. So we weren't holy when we came here. So being morally good is not good enough for the kingdom. We can't just do just anything. We got to be holy. He gave us a way to come into the place of the kingdom, to take our place. The place is holiness and righteousness. We must fight for the kingdom of God in a holy way. For what? For souls. We got to fight. We must fight the good fight. We must fight. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to show you. We got to fight. We have to fight for the kingdom of God in a holy way for souls. Watch this. You might say, I gotta fight. Yeah, you gotta fight. But we don't fight like the world fights. We don't fight like the world fights. Watch this. In Ephesians chapter number 6, starting at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in what? The Lord. And in the power, there it goes again, the power of his might. Now watch this. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to do when we come into the holiness and righteousness. This is what we're gonna have to do to stay there. My father told me before I got married, I said this before, whatever you did to get that woman, keep doing it to keep that woman. If you buying her flowers, buy her flowers even after you marry her. Don't stop. So this is what we have to do to keep the authority. This is what we have to do to, because the fiery darts are going to come. Satan is going to come, and he's going to try us. He's going to try to move us. But we have to be stable in God. We have to be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Amen? So this is what we got to do. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse number 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I see. He's going to come. He's going to come. The devil is going to try to come and try to take you out. But you have to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. You have to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now watch this. This is where it gets interesting. In verse number 12 it says, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now let's stop there. What does that mean? That means in the kingdom, my fight in the kingdom of God, my fight is not against my brother and my sister. My fight is not against my mother and my father. My fight is not against my brother. My fight is not against my sister. My fight is not against my family. My fight is not against my enemy. But my fight is against who? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is where my fight is. My fight is against the enemy. My fight is against the devil. To leading souls to Christ, my fight. Let me tell you something. The things that people are dealing with now in this day and age, they can't fight for themselves, so we got to fight for them. That's taking our place in the kingdom. We have to fight for them. We have to fight. Because if we don't fight for them, they'll be lost. Amen? Amen. Now, watch this. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's evil days coming. There's evil days already here. The evil day is already here in this present time. But he said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Amen. We got to have on the armor to fight. Amen. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, there it goes again, righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? What is the loins girded about with truth? Everything about you is girded about with the word of God, about what truth is. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why I got to have myself wrapped in Jesus. Everything about me needs to be about Jesus. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. Having my loins girded about with truth. I got to walk in truth. I got to talk in truth. I got to live in truth. I got to think in truth. Having myself wrapped around, my life wrapped around in truth, my life wrapped around in Jesus. Amen. Amen. And then it says, having the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? That my heart is right. Making sure that I have righteousness in my heart. So that my heart won't be hit with the fiery darts that's coming from the enemy. Amen. So that my heart, because when I came into the world, I came into this world a sinner, and I hate this thing that people say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. That's why he said he'll take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Because when you come into holiness and righteousness, he now takes out the stony heart. You came into this world with a heart of stone. That came into this world with a heart of stone. But he took out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh means that a heart that he can mold, a heart that he can help grow, the heart of God, so you can have compassion for people, so that you can have love for yourself and others. I tell my class, I have a saying in my classroom for my students. I said, when I first got there, I made a rule. I said, the first rule is you will respect yourself in others. And they know how they quote that. And then my school ladies, when they go out into their schools, I had one of my students go to their school and somebody was being mean to them. He said, I'm going to respect you because I'm going to respect myself. My teacher told me to respect myself and then respect others. Amen. We must be, and I'm just laying the groundwork. The Lord is laying, I'm not laying the groundwork, I'm sorry, y'all. The Lord is laying the groundwork for this series. Amen. But right now, I want to, if anybody has any comments, I want to open the floor up right now. Because we're going to dive back into this, but I want to get some comments. In Jesus' name, those that have a comment or anything you might want to say, in Jesus' name, the floor is open now.
Minister Adam, everyone in the gallery has been unmuted, so if anyone has a comment, you can speak up, address yourself, just let us know who you are, and because you are live now in the studio, if you are calling in, you're sitting in our chat room, please just begin to type your comment or your question, and I will relay that to Minister Chuggle. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Does anybody have a comment? Amen.
Praise the Lord, Minister Chuggle.
Praise the Lord.
Here's the thing. I want to first give honor to Minister Chuggle and acknowledge his faithfulness, because, see, we are to be teaching faithful people. people who are able to teach.
Do like I did last time.
The trouble is
to be able to talk. I'm just listening. You just told me to dial in, but I don't.
Hold on.
I didn't go on.
Hold
that
on.
Link
wait,
to be
wait a minute. Hold on, y'all. If anybody has the anybody's on their cell phone, amen. Bishop Carver is speaking, and I'm going to ask everybody to mute. If you're on your cell phone, please mute your cell phone, please. Amen. Go ahead, Bishop Carver.
Sorry about that. I was acknowledging Minister Tuggle and his faithfulness because, see, our job, our mandate is to teach faithful people who are able to teach others also. And Minister Tuggle's show, The Summit, is being heard right now in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, and Norway. And we are supposed to be reconciling the world for God, and he's doing that. And I want to really encourage him and acknowledge him. As it pertains to the teaching today, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And understand that the righteousness that we're to be walking in now is really a precursor to what we're about to walk into. See, our inheritance is incorruptible. Our inheritance is undefiled. Our inheritance does not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for us, but that's what we receive through the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So what it says here in Romans 8, 16, and 17 is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's within us, it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we're going to share in the sufferings of God. We're going to share in the sufferings of Christ so that we can share in the glory of Christ. I want to thank you, Minister Tuggle, for your faithfulness, for your service, for your focus on the word and empowering people with that word. And just keep going, man of God, because you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, man, I did not know. Amen. I did not know I was being heard in that many countries. Amen. Thank you. thank you, Bishop Carver, for letting me know that. Does anybody else have a comment? Amen. You can unmute yourself if you have a comment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Mr. Cuddle?
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
This is your mother, Miss Miller, calling from San Diego.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Okay.
You're live.
Go
ahead.
Okay. Just want to let you know that I really enjoyed your message today, and I thank God for you being my son and God using you in a mighty way. And I didn't know you were being heard in so many places, but you know the Bible says go on the highways and byways and compel them, which is the Great Commission, to reach people in those far ways. You know, you're going to places that some of us will never ever be able to go. So you know, thank God that he touched your heart to do the podcast. And it's so ironic that you were talking about holiness, and that was what I was reading on and studying on, about the holiness of God, and that is one of his biggest attributes is he tells us to be holy, for I am holy, in the book of Isaiah, mm-hmm. chapter 6. And it's only mentioned, that's one of his attributes that's mentioned in the Bible, in Isaiah and in the book of Revelation, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God mm-hmm. Almighty, which was, which is to come. And that's what I've been studying on. Mm-hmm. And being that you talked about that, as the only his only attribute that's mentioned three times in the Bible, twice, in the Old Testament mm-hmm. and the New Testament. So, yeah. You know, that's what I've been studying. So I just want to say thank you for allowing me to weigh in on your broadcast, and I hope you continue. And
yes, ma'am.
You know, time is running short. You know, we're looking for his appearing. You know, we're to be sober, to be vigilant, to watch and to pray. And because to look up is because our redemption draws nigh. And I was glad that you invited me to come on because I was reading my Bible this morning, even as you called. And
yes, ma'am.
You know, you're a young man now, and you know you could be doing anything other than doing a podcast. But thank God, you know, you're staying in the Word and you know walking right before the Lord. And this is what that's all He asked. And
Amen.
Trying to reach people, and I'm doing the same. And it says,
Amen.
"As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, even my mother and her,
Amen.
As she's getting older and stuff, she's still, which is your grandmother, still getting up this morning, took her communion and said her prayers, and you know,
Amen.
Yeah. So I don't want to hold you much longer, give other people time to talk. But
Amen.
God bless you, and I love you as my son. Okay.
I love you too. I love
okay.
you too.
Okay. Okay. Be blessed. Bye bye.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody else have a comment in Jesus' name? Amen. 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 I wanted to say that in this series, because this is a two-part or three-part series, whichever way God takes it, but I wanted to affirm with you guys that this is not my word. But I want to affirm to you today that this is not the word of Adam Tuggle. I did not write this word. I did not design this word. This is the word of God. And so when he tells us, like he said in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness." And in verse 15, it says, "And your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking the helmet of salvation." Why do we need the helmet of salvation? To protect our minds, to protect what God has blessed. He blessed us with our mind. And the devil's battlefield is our mind, because anything, the Bible says, such as a man thinketh, so is he. So when we go into a thought process, when our thought processes are moving in our mind, the devil tries to tread upon our minds to make us do what he wants us to do. It's just like science proves the word of God. It's scientists that try to disprove the word of God, but science proves the word of God. Such as just like the verse I quoted, "Such as a man thinketh, so is he." Well, the mind tells you to move your hands. You have to think about it first before you can do it, right? So scientifically, science has proven what the Bible says. "Such as a man thinketh, so is he." We see it all the time. This is why this is taking our place in the kingdom. If you don't think in a kingdom mindset, you won't be kingdom-minded. If you don't think in a holy mindset, you won't be holy. If you don't think, okay, I need to eat today, what am I going to cook? If you don't think before you do it, you won't do it. But if you thought about it, that's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Because once the devil plants that in your mind and you keep pondering on that thing, you're gonna try to do that thing. It's true. That's why the Bible lets us know, have on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. We have to take on the word of God. We have to use the word of God. Taking the word of God and using it. What is the word of God? Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What is the word? Why do we have the word of God? To resist the devil. To resist the devil. When the enemy, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The standard is the word of God. And we have to use the word of God. That's why I said we have to read the word of God every day. Just like we eat, we have to read the word of God. Amen. There's two other scriptures that I'm just going to give to you because I want to move on. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, you can read that in your leisure. That we must fight for the kingdom of God in a holy way for souls. Amen. This right here, what we read in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, this is getting us ready for the battle that we're going to have to fight for ourselves and others. Amen. Now, watch this. We must preach and live the gospel to save people from hell. Now, how is my life going to save people from hell? The Bible lets us know, as we read before in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Power to what? To be a witness. How is my witnessing and living the gospel going to save somebody's soul from hell? Watch this. You don't believe that there are people in hell right now. And I'm sorry to say it, but it is. It's true. People are in hell right now because they have not, they died. They died. Not putting themselves in the place where God wanted them to be. They did not accept the holiness and the righteousness of God to be able to come into the place where God wants them to be. You cannot enter the Bible lets us know that without the shedding of blood and the remission, there is no remission of sin. So we have the shedding of blood, which God did, which gave us access to the remission of our sins. But if we do not accept that remission, as it's quoted in Acts 2 and 38, as it's recorded in Acts 2 and 38, if we're not baptized in Jesus' name and been filled with the Holy Ghost, we have not received what we need. This is why people down even today having mind battles, wondering why they're so confused, wondering why they ain't finding no peace and no contentment and stuff, because there's no contentment in what you're doing. There is no contentment in the drugs. There is no contentment in the woman or in the man or in the whatever it might be. There's no contentment out there in the world. That's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing in this world can bring you peace. but Jesus. Jesus can bring you peace. He said his peace, it's all about him. You can have peace in Jesus. A whole bunch of people are looking for peace. My former pastor used to say it all the time. There are so many people in this world. Pastor McGordon used to say it all the time. People are looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for life when they know, when some of them know where the life is. The Bible in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to what? Destroy. That's the devil's job, to steal, kill, and destroy us. And we'll get into that on another day, because that's going into the series. But the next part of that verse is, but I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. People are looking for life. See, I grew up under a life preacher. Pastor Dorothy McGowan was a life preacher. Pastor Tuggle, he a life preacher. Amen. Pastor Cosette, she's a life preacher. So I grew up under life, using the word of God for life now, teaching us how to live life now. That's what this show is based on. The concept of the summit came from life preaching, so that you might reach the highest peak of your life. That's what a summit is, the highest peak of a mountain. Amen. So, but we must preach and live the gospel to save people from hell. You don't believe people are in hell right now? Watch this. Matter of fact, I'm very, very keyed in on doing this right now, because I'm being led by the Lord to do this. Amen. I'm being led of the Lord to do this. Amen. I want to take you to the book of Revelation. I want to take you to the book of Revelation real quick. You don't believe, some people don't believe that there's a hell, but I'm going to show you something. There are three scriptures to show us that people are in hell right now. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. And I'm going to show you. This is why you can't, this is why morally good ain't good enough, and this is why you can't live any kind of way, you think you can just bring anything to God to get into the kingdom. It don't work that way. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 13. I'm going to show it to you in the word of God. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, we see right here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, it said, hell delivered up the dead which were in them. It said, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in him, which were in them. What does that mean? And this is John. He saw a vision. God gave him the vision. Now this is talking about the white throne of judgment. But it's still people that had to be, these are people that hadn't, they're waiting for the white throne of judgment. Amen. This is the white throne of judgment, because if you read a couple verse up, it says, and I saw the dead small and great standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And then this was the white throne. This is the white throne of judgment. But let me show you something. Now watch this, because I'm about to end this. Let's go to Luke real quick, because I'm about to end this for today. And next week, we'll continue this series. Amen. In the book of Luke. In the book of Luke. In the book of Luke. Amen. I'm going to show you, I'm going to give this to you in the book of Luke, chapter 16. In Luke 16, and like I said, I'm flipping through the pages. Luke 16, verse 23 and 24. Now, this is Jesus talking. And he's talking to the Pharisees. Amen. And this is what he's saying in verse 23 and 24. And, well, I'm going to start at verse 22. I'm going to start at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Amen. This is what's going on right now. Amen. This is what's going on right now. Right now. Amen. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is what's going on right now. People are dying. They're dying. And some of them are dying without Christ. Some of them are dying without holiness. Some of them are dying without salvation. Not understanding the full knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to hell. And I'm just going to put it that way. They shouldn't have. Some of them won't accept. Some of them did not accept it. Some of them walked away from it. But it is our job. Do you not know it's our job? In these last few minutes that I have, I'm going to tell you this. Do you not know it's our job to preach and teach the word of God? Don't you know you say that? Don't you know that if you preach and teach the word of God, and some you have people connected to you that you can preach the word of God to, people that are connected to your life. That's why I said take your place in the kingdom, because there are people that are connected to your life that you are supposed to be helping. And you can't help them without salvation. You cannot help them without the righteousness of God. You cannot help them without the holiness of God. But once you tapped in, once you have committed yourself to the holiness and the righteousness of God, then and only then can you help people. Amen. Telling them about Jesus, living the gospel. And how do we show them? In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 12 through 14. Now I'm going to read this, and this is going to be my last verse for today. Amen. This is going to be my last verse. It says, apply thy heart unto correction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, you might say, well, Brother Adam, this is talking about a child. This is talking about correcting a child. Yes, it is. But do you not know we're the children of God? We're the children of God, and God chases who he loves. He corrects who he loves. Amen. And sometimes we got to correct ourselves with the word of God. So I know it's talking about a natural child, but don't you know when you beat down your flesh with the rod, with the word of God, when you beat down your flesh and you take and you apply thy heart unto correction, getting it right, getting your soul right with God, you apply your heart. You see, when you came into this world, you came into the world with a stony heart. You can't apply your heart if your heart is wrong. So you have to come into the knowledge of the truth. You can't come into the knowledge of the truth. You can't take on correction until your heart is right. Amen. Withhold not correction from the child. God cannot withhold correction from us. He can't withhold correction. He corrects us with the word. He corrects us through prayer. He corrects us through fasting. Amen. Sometimes we got to beat. My former pastor used to hit her hand and say, we need to beat this flesh. We need to beat this flesh down. And that's what we need to do. Amen. That's what we need to do. Because it saves our soul from hell. That's what it says right here in verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Don't you know when you preach and teach the word of God and you live out the word of God, that's why them deep. The spirits that are in people, that's why they don't understand you. That's why that person on your job don't understand why they get mad at you. Because the spirit in you, if you live in holy and you got somebody that's unholy and got so many spirits, and let me tell you, this is going to go into the series, a person can be filled with demons and spirits. They're called legions. They're called legions. And when they, and I'm just going to go over here real quick. A legion of devils or a legion of demons that are in a person, if they see Jesus, they're going to be tormented. They're going to be tormented. I'm just going to tell you that now. They're going to be tormented. Why? Because that spirit. Because of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. That's why you don't fit. Your friends, I've been in a place where some of my friends wouldn't let me hang out with them because they thought I was too saved, literally. And I've told this testimony before. I've had a friend tell me I was too saved. And I got mad. So I was like, wait a minute, I'm too fast. What you talking about? Because you don't fit. Because of the holiness of God on your life. When you come into the place where you're supposed to be in the kingdom, you're royalty. You're not like this world. Be separate from the world. You're supposed to be separate. That's why the world can't handle you. It's not that you can't handle them. It's that they can't handle you. That's why they don't want you around. That's why certain friends can't. I told one of my family members one time, you know, as a child, they kept hanging out with people and kept hanging out with people. And I'm like, and I told them, I said at what, 8 or 9 years old, I told this family member, I said, you and roommates don't mix. You and roommates do not mix. They would have friends, and they would, you know, get those friends, and then they would move in with the friend, or the friend would move in with them, and they would have an apartment and everything, or a place. And I told my family member, I said, look, I was about 8 or 9 years old. I'm like, you and roommates don't mix. You and the friends you have don't mix. Because you're different. God put it on you way before you was born. That's why you and roommates don't mix. That's why you and your friends don't go together. That's why you and that relationship ain't working. Because you're not supposed to be in it. Amen? I hope that you got something out of this. This is part one of our series of taking your place in the kingdom of God. And I pray that you got something out of this, and I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. And most of all, I pray that you join us next week for part two of this series, because we're not done. We're just getting started. Amen. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. But most of all, God loves you more in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Bishop Cook, God bless you. I love you. Thank you so much for allowing us to come again and to bring forth the word of God in Jesus' name. God bless everybody, all the Spirit Alive family, everybody that's tuned in today. Come on back next week and come on in on this week and listen to all of our other shows that we got for you. We got Taking It to the Street this Monday. Amen. With Apostle Cook, amen. We got Bishop Lester Carver with Tuesday night teachings, amen, amen. Apostle Flowers, amen. We got Pastor Vanessa Carver, amen. We got all these shows for you, amen. So we thank God for you, and God bless you, and I love you, each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, until next week, I love you, and I can't say it enough, amen. But if I've offended anybody, and I heard this from a great preacher, if I have offended anybody to make you think or to make you not want to listen to me ever again, meet me at the service. Meet me after service, and I'll repeat it all over again, because it's the truth. Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. As my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you.
Amen.